Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Brian. So Brian, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. My name is Brian Guadagno. I have a gluten-free, low-glycemic pasta alternative business called It's Skinny, and we sell our product in about 6,000 grocery stores around the country and also online. Awesome. And from Austin, Texas.
Cool. So how did you get the idea to start this company?
I come from a capital markets background, and I also had a digestive issue when I was a bit younger, and was searching for a way that the two passions on healthy eating and living and also my proclivity to be analytical and crunch numbers could coexist. And the opportunity presented itself when I discovered that a pasta alternative like this could exist, but needed a lot of improvement and sought out to be the force that would go about improving it.
Awesome. So how did it go from you sitting here saying that you had this idea and you had this need for yourself to actually going and doing the execution, building out and creating this product?
Well, fortunately, there was already a pretty good base of the product. So basically, look, I was an investment banker in consumer goods. I worked in consumer before. I had a pretty good idea of what made consumer goods businesses tick. A lot of it has to do with margin being in a growing category. So I saw another business that was in a comparable category with a comparable product. And candidly, they were just not executing effectively. I don't think they were making decisions with the consumer in mind, and they weren't branding the product appropriately. And, you know, initially I set out to buy another business to enter the market without starting fresh. And that didn't end up working out, and ultimately we raised some money and did it on our own.
So what did that look like for you? How much time did it take you to actually go and create this product? And like, I'm sure that you're probably like working with people. I don't know, like if you're a chef yourself, or what did that whole process look like for you?
Yeah, my business partner is a food scientist and a former Michelin star chef at an Italian restaurant in Italy. So that helps. He already had an idea of where he wanted to go with the product. And then my other business partner is just a retail legend, and she's been in the business for over 30 years or about 40 years. I don't know if she'd like me saying that, but she's been in the business for a really long time. And so we sort of had an action plan from the get-go, but we'd known each other for a couple of years prior. And so I wouldn't say we started day one and like didn't have anything and needed to figure out where we were going. We knew where we were going, you know, and so it happened pretty quickly, maybe a few months.
Awesome. So like you mentioned earlier that you're in over 6,000 stores. So what type of stores are you in? Like where could people typically find you? Just even across the country, even here in Texas?
Yeah, we're in HEB in Central Market here in Texas. We're in most regional banners in the Northeast and the Southeast and in the South now. And we're pushing up into the Midwest and then out to the West Coast. We're not really in a lot of national accounts, but yeah, so, you know, if anyone's on the East Coast, Price Chopper, Food Lion, Publix, Acme, on the West Coast, we're in Ralph's, Hy-Vee, we're in, like I said, about 6,000. So we have pretty solid distribution currently, and we're definitely looking to expand it, but strategically expand it.
Well, so you mentioned earlier, you were saying that your competition was not very good at branding, that you were able to brand it in a way which is better than your competition. So what does that look like? Like, how have you branded this product that way people know about your product, people can buy your product, and that you can, you know, keep expanding and growing your business?
I wouldn't go as far as to say that we sought out to do it. I guess we did seek out to do it better. But yeah, I mean, look, we were just trying to make decisions with the consumer in mind. Everything that we wanted to do was with the consumer in mind. And honestly, a lot of the branding is not so much about the, you know, the packaging, I think, looks great. We went through a couple of iterations of this, and it came out really solid. We wanted to make it simple. We wanted to make it clean. We wanted to make it kind of new age forward. We didn't want it to have an ethnic feel to it. We wanted to call it pasta. Most other brands were calling it noodles. wanted to put it right in the mainstream grocery, like right in the pasta aisle of the grocery store. We didn't want it to be in the ethnic section or relegated to some other section of the grocery store, because that's where it's discoverable, in the pasta aisle. And so we wanted to give it a package that would stand out like that. And then in terms of the product, traditional konjac noodles had kind of an odor, slime. They were clear and translucent. We wanted to make it look more like pasta, feel more like pasta. So we changed the color, and we got rid of the slime, and we got rid of the odor. And, you know, we did that while keeping it pretty clean and also keeping the core product attribute, which is the fact that it's super low cal. And, you know, our thing is we want to celebrate what's on top of the pasta as opposed to the empty carbs that are in the pasta. And we want to get it as close to a conventional pasta experience as we can get. So we're on, this is like V2 of the product. We're getting ready to phase in a V3, which holds sauce a little bit better. It's got a little bit better of a texture. So we're constantly iterating. And I think that's what really sets us apart. And that's why we have a solid consumer base.
Makes sense. So in terms of your consumer base, are you focused on direct to consumer, or are you only, you know, really focused on retail right now?
We're focused on both. I think it's quite clear that omnichannel is the way to go right now. And the good thing about digital is it helps fill in ACV gaps where you don't have retail distribution, but retail is the main play. We have to win at retail, and we're investing to win at retail. About 50% of our business currently is retail, and that will be a core focus for 2024.
So in terms of retail, that's an interesting play, because I think it's, you know, obviously people are always talking about e-commerce and how much that's growing. So is it more of like, you know, do you feel like retail is like, in terms of margins, or like what makes you like, I guess, you know, focus more on retail compared to e-commerce?
Well, it's not so much margin. It's distribution and brand building, right? You want to be where people shop. Not everyone shops online. Only 10% of consumers shop online. So you need a grocery store. You want to be a big player and a heavy hitter. And, you know, our goal is to disrupt the pasta aisle. 1 in 7 consumers eats a low glycemic diet, less than 1% of available pasta options, which makes sense because not a lot of pastas are low glycemic, but less than 1% of available options are low glycemic. Most consumers don't even know that there's an opportunity out there. And it's because it's not in pasta. If you put something on the shelf, you know, it's far more likely to get discovered. And we have close to a 40% repeat purchase rate. So when it is discovered, there's a relatively high degree of likelihood that somebody's going to buy it again. And so the name of the game is to be in front of consumers and be where they're shopping. Because otherwise, we're not going to be able to offer this kind of product attribute. It won't exist.
Makes sense. So in terms of numbers, like what are you looking at? Like you mentioned that you're looking to scale up in 2024. So what is your current monthly revenue? Like, what are you looking to get to for next year?
I will say that we've doubled every year since we've been around, and our goal is to double again for 2024. Our aim is to do that through driving retail growth, not through distribution growth, but through velocity growth. I mean, there will be some distribution growth in that, but it's really investing in the stores that we're currently in, investing in customer discovery, and investing in repeat purchase at the store.
When it comes to marketing, are you doing a lot of marketing right now, like email newsletters? Like, how do you keep your customer data and keep your customers, you know, intrigued and buying more of your products?
So we reach out to our consumers about 3 times a week, sometimes more if we have a promotion going on. Like right now it's pasta month. So we, each week of this month, we're doing a different shape. So the shape for this week is fettuccine, and there's a 25% discount if anyone's buying fettuccine. And so we'll send out maybe one or two more for the promotion, but typically we're sending 3 a week. And our email correspondence is not salesy. Promotion email is going to be in one email a week. We're doing something that's a call to action to purchase, but mostly we just want to, it's mostly like about my lifestyle and Barb's lifestyle. We're going to start getting a lot in there as well, and just talking about what we're going through and how we're eating and how we're living and how we're incorporating the product in our lifestyles and our kids and our lessons learned. And we're trying to just be real with our consumers. And because I think the cool thing about what we have going on is like our founder group is kind of unique. Like I'm a 33-year-old young fit guy, and Barb is more middle-aged, and our goals are different. Like I'm trying to put on muscle, she's trying to lose weight. Elijah is a chef and likes to eat good food. And so like everyone has different goals with their consumption. And I think it's interesting because although we all come from different socioeconomic backgrounds, different demographic backgrounds, we share a common, pain point in that we're trying to accomplish a goal with our consumption. And It Skinny is a tool in those processes in different ways for each of us.
So when it comes to, you mentioned that you have these kinds of call to actions and that you're adding value, talking about like yourselves in the newsletter. Do you try to get people to subscribe, or do you have those types of programs for people that want to buy it every month, or what does that look like for the business?
Yeah, we offer a subscription on our webpage. I think the consumer experience is not great on that, so we're actively working to enhance that. We have subscription options on Amazon. Actually, Amazon subscription option is great. We're up to about 6,500 subscribers there. But yeah, we're really investing on our back end right now to try and make the subscription functionality much better on our website. I know there's a lot of room for improvement there, and we want to offer that to our consumers.
Makes sense. So speaking like of your website and technology, are you using AI right now in the business? And if not, like what are some of the use cases where you think that AI can come in and help you out?
Well, we think of AI for repeatable tasks and assistance with copy or research or something along those lines. We're, for a consumer business, I don't know that there's a massive opportunity for creative value using AI, but no, we're intrigued by it, and we're experimenting with it in a way. Like there's an AI platform we were looking at yesterday that helps with deck building and different things. So we're playing around with it. It's a fun tool, but we've really actively made it a part of our business yet.
But if you look at AI, for example, maybe like a high level chatbot for somebody to have conversations with your potential customers and converting them on your website or social media, for example?
Not for conversion. Look, like I said, we're exploring, we're looking at everything. So I wouldn't rule it out. We just haven't done it yet. We've played around with a lot of different things. We played around with chatbots and stuff like that. Yeah.
Would you say it's the biggest challenge that you're facing in the business right now?
Well, it's a challenge of circumstance, right? Like we all want to be bigger than what we are. And the reality is we just have to be on the path. I think we're in a good spot, but we're facing challenges that are very appropriate for our phase of the business life cycle, like trying to grow velocity and trying to stand out on the shelf and what programs to run in retail and, how to enhance our consumer experience on our webpage and all those kinds of things, how to really connect with our consumers and what influencers to wear. Like there are a lot of like very appropriate challenges for our business as we currently stand. I wouldn't just label one as being standing out above the rest.
In terms of influencers, kind of like an interesting dynamic. So what are you guys looking at now? Like what have you worked with so far? Is it people more in the health and fitness space? Or like, what do you think is going to be successful in the influencer space when it comes to the business?
I think we were more opportunistic when we first started in the influencer space. Just we were looking at follower accounts and engagement. And now I think we care a lot more about the types of influencers we're working with and how they're engaging with their consumers and whether or not there's actually a fit with our product and, to their audience. Are they creating content for entertainment purposes, or are they creating content for educational purposes or as a way to relate to their audiences? I think there are different types of influencers out there, and we're trying to be more intentional about working with, we're not trying to get impressions and eyeballs. We're trying to engage consumers into a brand experience and give them a great experience of that if we can. So it's shifted a little bit.
So it's more so you're focused on influencers that are educating, maybe talking more about healthy food products, people who are really seeking out this healthy lifestyle. We'd be following them on like Instagram, and then from there they could talk about like your products.
They don't even need to be seeking out a healthy lifestyle. They could be just exploring new cuisine, or honestly, it could be a makeup influencer, right? But somebody who is like, holy shit, this is really cool. I never realized that this existed. But if they have a following that's curious about what they're doing and excited about exploring it as well, then that's what we're looking for. An audience who is curious about the influencer's day-to-day lives and and excited to try things that they're trying for whatever reason.
Makes sense. What would you say is your top business priority now that we're in Q4 of 2023 as we close out the year?
Planning for 2024. Just we want to go kick ass in 2024. So getting ahead of it.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
Care enough about what you're building to carry you through the hard times, because they'll come and they'll suck and you'll want to quit, but you have to care more about what you're doing than the toughness of those times.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like I always hear this on our podcast. It's, you know, there's no such thing as entrepreneurs who fail, just entrepreneurs who quit. So if you're really persistent and if you're building something that you really believe in, most of the time that you'll be very successful.
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that every single challenge has a solution, and it's often not quite what you're thinking. And entrepreneurs tend to put themselves on an island and don't really communicate if they're going through challenging things because they don't want to be perceived as failing. But what I found a lot of success in is being really open and transparent. It's definitely scary, but you know, once you get past the initial, like if there is something bad going on, once you get past the initial, oh, well, that kind of sucks, then everyone goes into, okay, well, how can we help mode? And I found that communication and transparency is key to getting through challenging times.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think it's, you know, there's now like a big trend of like building in public. I think that so many people in the CPG space have taken that on, or just in general, but it's really a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah.
So if we were to chat again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for your business?
Doubled in size, really strong velocities at the point of purchase, you know, really accomplishing all the goals that we're talking about. I mean, from a revenue and a consumer awareness perspective, we've got to measure how many households we're currently in and where we want to get to. But yeah, just consumer adoption and repeat purchase. If we can double our velocities and maybe incrementally scale our distribution, be in Costco, and have a couple more products that we're testing on our webpage, I think that will result in the kind of revenue metrics that we're aiming for or more, and put us in a really nice position going into 2025.
Are there other certain retailers that you're targeting? Is it just Costco or Whole Foods? Or like, what are you guys looking at for 2024?
Kroger is probably our highest target priority for 2024, and then Costco and Sprouts.
Awesome. So like if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your social media handle or website, just best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, my LinkedIn is, if you just search Brian Godagno, you should find it. Hopefully you can provide the spelling for that to your audience. Gudagno is my last name. But I'm pretty open about communicating with people. If you just tell me where you found me, as opposed to sending me a blanket generic letter. But yeah, just tell me that you found me through the podcast and you're intrigued, and I'm happy to communicate with anybody.
Awesome. Well, Brian, thank you so much for your time today. We're rooting for you. And yeah, thanks again.
Thanks so much. Take care.
All right. Bye.